to talk about now is one truth that has been revealed and brought forth in this day and age as it was taught in ancient days, that it cannot be found by a diligent study of the Bible because it was a lost truth. This is a scripture from that was told to Moses that is not found inside the modern day version of the Bible because it was lost from the record. And through a living prophet and revelation, it has been brought back forth, restored, as it was taught in those ancient days. It says, "For behold, this is my work and my glory, to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man." This is the Savior speaking. He's telling us what his purpose is, why he created this whole universe. Why did he do all this? He says, to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. Well, what exactly does this mean? Eternal life, or as we can say, exaltation, is God's life. God gave his command to be ye therefore perfect. And that's not just idealistic gas. He really wants us to become perfect, as he is perfect. There's a scripture inside Romans that says, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." What do you think it means to be an heir of God? An heir of a king, what is a king? The prince is the heir of the kingdom. What happens? He inherits that. And a joint heir with Christ. The heir inherits what the master has. So what exactly is it for God that we are going to inherit as his sons and daughters? It comes down to the nature of God. Through modern revelation and speaking through a living prophet, God said, God has a body of flesh and bones as tangible as man's, and the Son also. God is not just a big mist of spirit that floats out there in the universe. He is a glorified being, just as his Son is, just as his Christ is. In Philippians 3:21, it says, "Christ shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." And look at that last part. It says, his glorious body, according to the workings whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. And this comes down to God is the God of the universe. He's the God over all his children has out there. And because of the body and because of the glory that he has, he can control all of it. Our God is not a one-planet God. This is not the only planet with his children that inhabit it. They say there are 100 billion stars per galaxy out there, and there's approximately 100 billion galaxies. And we are not the only one in which God has brought forth his plan. He wants to accomplish his work and his glory of the exaltation of his children all throughout the universe. His plan has a huge scope to it. And when I see the wonders that are out there in the universe, it makes me in awe of what our Creator has accomplished and the vastness of his power and what he has done through his glory. I can think of no more glorious being. Central to what God has is a family. And this is a belief that will separate us from, I believe, anybody else, is we believe the family is a central unit of God's kingdom in this life as well as in eternity. The family is eternal. It's not just a social unit that he created down here in this life for convenience, but we can be with our family members together forever. In Matthew, he says, I give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This sealing power was given by the priesthood to Peter, the apostle, to bind things on earth and bind them in heaven. And this power is to bind families together for eternity. Those who are sealed by this power, their marriages and their families do not end at death, but they continue on after this life. And so, How exactly is this accomplished? It's so important that families are sealed together in this life, because as Jesus Christ himself stated, you do err not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as angels of God in heaven. And so this work is performed in the holy temples. That's what we have them for. It's to seal families together for eternity. Seal husband and wife, seal children to parents, and bring about that work of having our families with us in the eternity. I know for me that I personally had a while ago when my uncles passed away, and it's really hard. And I know because of Jesus Christ that I will get to see him again. But more importantly than that, I know that he will be my uncle. He will be my father's brother. We will be as a family in the eternity, just as we are here, and I can think of no greater blessing than that. If I thought that I could not be with my family again, I think I would be miserable. And what exactly does it mean to be like him, as his work and his glory is to accomplish for us? This was given by a bishop that we don't have into the Bible, a little bit after Revelation's close. And he says, God was made man that we might be made God. That's the purpose of the atonement, is that we might become more like he is. We strive for all these things that he edified. He's the perfect embodiment of charity, of love, of kindness, of patience. And he wants us, as his sons and daughters, to become like that, to have families forever, and have a body, a glorious, perfected body, fashioned like unto his. Some people have said that if we can become like God, that demeans who God is. A modern-day prophet has stated, this godhood of man will not detract anything from the glory and might of our Heavenly Father, for he will still remain our Father, and we shall still be subject to him. And as we progress in glory and power, and more enhances the glory and power of our Heavenly Father. This principle holds good in either state, whether mortal or immortal. So as we go up, and in the eternities, we continue to progress, as we describe it, eternal progression. We are always moving forward, trying to become more like God, because that's what he wants for us. He wants for us a fullness of joy, to be happy with our families in eternity. And he can't magically make that happen by snapping his fingers, because we have agency, the right to choose. We have to choose to follow him. And we have to choose to better ourselves and become more like he is. But through the atonement of Jesus Christ, he has provided a way for all of us to become like him, like he is, and enjoy the blessings that he has, the family that he has, the glories that he has. I think this puts so much beauty on the plan of salvation of our God, that we're not just down here to go through this life and then go spend the rest of eternity in heaven. But he really put us down here for a purpose. He put us down here because he loves us, and he wants us to better ourselves. Another truth that is brought forth that puts light on this is that we, as spirits, existed before we are born. There's a few references to this into the Bible, but as a whole, this truth has been lost. We existed before we came down to this earth. We cannot remember it, but God knew our spirits. We lived with him. This I know by the power of the Holy Ghost and through his testimony. I disagree that everything we have has to come through the scriptures or the living word. I believe that a man may receive communication from God to validate that something is true through the power of his spirit. Many of my answers have come through the scriptures, but the scriptures are confirmed to me not because I have a logical pattern that I break them down with, but because I feel that they are true. The Holy Ghost is more than just a feeling of happy or crying. Too often we associate this spirit with how we feel. I cannot describe it, but it is not a feeling. It is the convincing power of God that these things are true. It's how we know that Jesus Christ is our Savior, is by this Spirit. And without it, we cannot say that. And that that's what the Book of Mormon invites everyone to do, as this doctrine hinges on. Because if the Book of Mormon is true, then we can be together with our families forever. And if it's not, then it's all false. It hinges on that, studying those fruits and receiving that revelation from God. I want to bear to you my testimony that I know that we have a prophet of God on earth today, and that I can be with my family together forever. There is no more beautiful thing in the world than that, that God loves us so much that he wants us to have what he has. And so he provided his son. I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.